So before you do anything, just pray and ask for the Lord's guidance and in giving you the strength to do things. So let us pray. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning to thank you for being in your house today with all our visitors and our family members here. And Father, just pray for the strength and knowledge to give me the words to say today and to be able to convey the message to people and have the people here to understand it and take it home today, Father, and use it on an everyday basis. And just pray that you will, and we know you will, and we know you're here with us today, right now. So, Father, just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, today I was thinking about giving this message, and again, like I said, today is my birthday, as I told you already three times. So, I thought today it kind of be a warrant to me to buy me a new suit. As horse people as I am, we horse people don't buy clothes. This is the only third new suit I ever bought in my whole life. Horse people, we just don't tend to buy clothes and stuff. We buy important things like horses and saddles and bridles, and that's what we do. And so a couple years ago, we was coming home from the Quarter Horse Congress. Now, the Quarter Horse Congress is the biggest single breed horse show in the world. It's right down here in Columbus, Ohio. It's for the whole month of October. And so we was down there and, at the shows, and one night we was coming home from the horse show in Columbus, and our granddaughter Claire was with us. And every year, when we do this, we're all excited about the horse shows, because when you go down there, there's just rows and rows and rows of trailers and trucks and horses from everywhere. There are people from all over the United States, and there's people there from other countries. And there's buildings just clear full of tack and saddles and bridles and clothes and artwork and jewelry. And you could buy everything, anything for a horse down to Congress. And they have horse shows there every day from 8 o'clock in the morning to midnight at night. So it's really a big deal. And so as horse people, as Pat and I, we are, we coming home from the shows. So we're so excited about it. And we're always thinking about next year. What are we going to do for next year? We're going to buy a new horse. What are we going to do? And I finally told my granddaughter, Claire, I said, "Know something, Claire? I got to quit buying horses and horse stuff. I need to buy me some new teeth." So that's what horse people do. So that's why this is the only third new suit I ever bought. So I thought I'd just share that with today. This is kind of a special day for me. Turn to Matthew 23. We'll start there this morning. And this message is going to be about forgiveness. How to, first of all, you have to receive forgiveness. We're going to talk about receiving forgiveness and how to give forgiveness. And you have to receive it before you can give it. You can't give something that you don't have. So today I'm going to explore this forgiveness and try to answer some questions you may have in your mind and maybe give you something to think about. I encourage everybody home and study some more about it and think about forgiveness. And that's the cornerstone of our faith in it, for when God forgive us, when Jesus forgive our sins. So if you have your place there, Matthew 18, we'll start at verse 23. Matthew 18. And we'll start at verse 23. And I'll read to verse 35. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, have patience with me, I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord that served was moved and with compassion and loosened him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thee owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord what was done. Then the Lord, after that, he called unto him, all the wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desired me. Should not thou also have compassion on the fellow servant, even as I've had pity on thee? And his Lord was worth and delivered him to tormentors till he should pay all that due unto him. So likewise should my heavenly Father do also unto you, from you from heaven, from hearts forgiven, not every one brother their trespasses. So here this morning, I wanted to talk about what that meant this morning. And 1 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is the king, which that symbolizes God. The king symbolizes God here, and that's what he is. And he said unto him, 1,000 talents. I did some research on talents, what it was and what it cost. What is a talent? A talent is the largest unit of currency of Israel. And to speak of what a talent is, you convert that into 6,000 days worked. One talent is worth 6,000 days work. So if you work 6,000 days, how long does it take you to work 6,000 days? It takes about 20 years. 20 years worked will get you one talent. So the king came out and told his servants, says, congratulations, you have worked 20 years, you've earned one talent. Now you have 9,999 more to go. But that's a big debt in it. And that talent represents our sins. That's our sins representing that. So we have, hopeless debt to God. We can never repay it. It says in here that he sold his servant's children and all he had, it still would not be enough. Did not be enough to repay God. So God, he has given us a tremendous, tremendous debt we owed him, that he forgave it all to us. I don't think we as a people, we understand that how much debt we owe the Lord. This would just tell us that, what it was, the debt we can never repay. And I think we need to recognize that and what he has done for us, the debt we have. And selling the debtors for his family and possessions would hardly begin to recoup the debt. Forgiving such a loan is an astounding act of grace. God is merciful. He's an astounding act of grace. And the servant said he went out and got his fellow servant. He owed him 100 pence. Well, how much is 100 pence? It's about 3 months of work. But 3 months of work. So he owed the king 10,000 talents, which he could never repay. And his fellow servants owed him 3 months of work. And so he didn't. He just took him and didn't give him his grace. He wouldn't throw him into the prison. And when the king, the Lord, found out about it, he says, oh, you wicked servant, you. I already forgive the debt you couldn't repay. Couldn't you do that to your fellow servant? No, he didn't. He wouldn't throw him into the prison. And he didn't forgive him. And so, look here. Go back in verse 34. And it says, and his Lord was worth his deliverance unto him, tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Then verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And so if you don't forgive your fellow servants, God, he's not going to forgive you. So turn to Mark 25. Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye had aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And verse 26 says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So if you don't give your fellow servant for what he's done for you, he's done so little towards us. If anybody does trespasses against you, it's so minor to what God has already forgiven us. He's forgiven us as something we can never repay. And we don't forgive our fellow servants. So they did so little. They only did 3 months of work towards us. So if you don't give our sins, he's not going to forgive our sins. So what is forgiveness? And I worked on that. What is forgiveness? I got a definition. What is forgiveness? And I got my pages out of whack here. I don't know how I did that. Psychiatrist says the definition of forgiveness is a general defined forgiveness. Also, is a conscientious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment, of vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of have actually deserved your forgiveness. And it says there, it's release of feelings. That's what they're saying. Release of feelings. The resentment towards somebody. We release that. That's what they're saying. They also say, forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excuses offenses. And I read that, I thought, you know, I got to read the scriptures about that. And I found Hebrews 10:17 says, sins I'll remember no more. Then turn to Micah 7:18. Thou wilt perform the truth. Let me start with 7:18. I'm going to read verse 18 through 20. 7:18. We'll read 18 through 20. Who is God unlike to thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remainment of his heritages? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again and will have compassion upon us. He will subdue iniquities and thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto the fathers from the days of old. He says, right here, saying, God, he will cast your sins to the depths of the sea. He doesn't remember no more. He'll just throw them all out into the sea. And he has delight, he will forget, retaineth anger not, because he has mercy. And verse 20 says he keeps his promise to the men of old. He's promised them that he will do that. And that's what this 20 is saying, that he's promised Jacob and Abraham. And he'll sworn unto their father, the day of his old. He'll keep his promise. He will not remember our sins. Mm-hmm. So then we should forgive a person and forget about it. So how do we get forgiveness? How do we receive it? Well, we receive forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that for be able to forgive sins. And I'll read that here in a moment. So through the blood of Jesus Christ, he's the only one to forgive you. And in John 14:6 says, and everybody knows it real well, Jesus said unto him, I am the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's so only through Jesus Christ is you be able to forgive your sins. You pray to him and you repent of your sins and ask him for forgiveness. Turn to Mark 2, verse 7. Mark 2, verse 7. Why does this man that speaketh blasphemy, who can give sins but God only? People say they forgive your sins, but they can't. You know, I know priests will say, come and give your sins. Tell me where your sins, I'll forgive them. They can't do that. Priests can't do that. Pastor can't do that. Deacons can't do that. The Pope cannot do that. Only God can give your sins. Only him. And so the blood of Jesus Christ, he's the only way you're going to get forgiveness. He received the gift of forgiveness through him. And that's the only way you're going to get it. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to have it before we're able to give it. Because you can't give something you don't have. Then when you do ask for forgiveness through Jesus, and turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and see what happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We become a new people, new person, when we believe in Jesus Christ. He will take the old from you, and he'll give you, be able to forgive people. He'll give you the ability to do that, because your old nature will pass away. It doesn't mean you will not become, you're not sin anymore, and we do. We sin every day. But we make sins we don't even know about. We don't even comprehend that. We just don't know what we do. Well, we do, I guarantee you. But all things pass away. And so we'll be able to have compassion for another person. We should be able to forgive other people. And there's was a famous psychiatrist. His name is Carl Menninger. And he says, if he can give people in a psych ward to receive forgiveness and to give forgiveness, 75% of the people in the ward can walk out in one day healed. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Jesus can do that. Jesus, he can heal you just like that. You'll be able, mentally, physically, you'll be able to do that. If you just receive forgiveness, receive Jesus in your life, and forgive other people, you can be healed in one day. And I truly believe that. He also lists the top 19 most difficult things to do in life. And if anybody want a copy of this, I can make a copy for and give it to you. The top 19 most difficult things to do in life. Number one, to apologize. That's a hard thing to do for some people. Admit you're wrong. Apologize to somebody. They're wrong. Hey, I'm sorry I did that. To be over. And to be over, turn to Hebrews 10. I got to find it myself here. I don't think I marked it, but go to Hebrews 10, 17. And the sins, iniquities, will I remember no more. Be over it. God, he gets over it. He doesn't remember your sins no more. So if somebody does something to you, just get over it. Don't remember it no more. Just forgive them and just get over it. To be unselfish. To take advice. I know a lot of times people won't take advice. I know people in the horse industry, somebody would get a horse and have it 2, 3, 4 years and try to tell them something. They won't learn. They won't listen because they know everything already. I see it all the time. Pat and I have been in the horse business for over 50 years, and I still take riding lessons because I still want to keep my level of riding where I want to be. I still take advice and learn from that. To admit error. And again, in the insurance business, people won't do that either. They won't admit they're wrong. I've had somebody call me up on the phone and says, hey, I had an accident. It's not my fault. I said, okay, did the police cite you? Oh, yeah, I got cited. But it wasn't my fault. So what happened? Well, I slid on ice. Had an accident. And I said, well, how many other cars went over that same icy spot you did? 10, 20, 100? Did they all have accidents? Well, no. No, he's going too fast for conditions. People won't admit that. They just won't. They just won't do it. Face a sneer. Just have courage and confidence in yourself that you're a godly person. And someone sneers and says, well, that's okay. I knew who I am. I knew I'm one of God's children. That's okay. And if you admit he did something, admit that you did something wrong, apologize to him. Face a sneer. Think and act. That's a hard thing to do, too. Think about it. I've had an impulse of talking before I think. I mean, I really worked on that a lot through my life. Think and act. I know I do that when I call a customer up. I always try and think of what I'm going to talk to them about and what I'm going to say. And I even think about what kind of questions they'll be asking me so I can give the answers to them. Think about it. Be charitable. And I think, you know, in our church, we have the most charitable people in any church I've ever been in. We have so giving people in our church. We support 50 missionaries for a small church like we do. I know a friend of mine, he's a deacon in another church, a Baptist church. They have 300, 400, or 500 people go there. It's a big church. And they don't support many missionaries we do. And so we have very charitable giving people in our church. To be considerate, think about other people. When you walk into a door, somebody's behind you, to a restaurant, hold the door up for the person behind you. Be considerate. To avoid mistakes. Avoid mistakes, you take advice from other people to avoid mistakes. Somebody already did it, ask them how they've done it, so you avoid mistakes they have made. To endure success. You know, that's only success is in the Bible one time. Let's go there. Joshua. Since it's only one time. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there in day and night, that thou must observe to do according to it what is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. The word success is only in the Bible one time. That's where I hear it right here is today. It's talking about meditate day and night and think about what you're doing. Observe what you're doing. And when you are successful, you will be successful if you think about it and meditate about it. And this talking about the God's law here, and be strong in it and have great success. Profit by mistakes. Keep out of the rut. People get some ruts, don't we? And God pushes there sometimes. He pushes in low valleys and high top of the mountain sometimes. He pushes in low places to teach the lessons to learn from people and to help bring people to Christ. That's why we're low. But remember, when you are in a rut, think about what God's doing in your life and think about what He's going to be looking for. And the word might be there for a reason, for a purpose. And think about the high mountain we're going to go to when we get out of the rut. Just keep out of the rut. You were there for a reason. To make best of little. I did that all my whole life. Growing up, we didn't have much. We made the best of it. And I still am. We still make the best of little. To subdue an untruly temper. I know I had a problem with that. I had a bad temper. And somebody gave it to me, and I get right back to them. Therefore, buddy, so I did. I had to work on that, and I'm still working on that. That could get you really in trouble. To shoulder the deserved blame. If you did it, own up to it. If your blame comes to you, shoulder it, earn it. Recognize the silver lining. Recognize the silver lining. Recognize what we have things and be successful and recognize the silver lining and to receive forgiveness and to give forgiveness. A good friend of mine, he came down with stage 4 cancer. And he, doctor says he would never be healed. He had it so bad. And he said, you know, he said, I have a bigger God than that. So he was reading the scriptures one day. And he realized for him to be healed, he has to do something. The scriptures told him this. Turn to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. He was reading the Lord's Prayer. And he came along the scripture. And I'll read it. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also give you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father give your trespasses. My friend read that. He was a supervisor at a factory. He was a supervisor there for 40 years, and he had a lot of men under him. And he was a good supervisor down there, but his bosses, he had 3 bosses over him that gave him more work and made his life pretty miserable. And he had really developed a bad resentment for them 3 people. And he retired. He kind of forced him out of work. He had to retire. He just couldn't take it no more. He retired. And every time somebody talked about the factory he worked at, he just shook and trembled. He just couldn't get over it. Until he read Matthew 14 and 15, he says, for me to be healed, I'm going to have to forgive them guys at factory. Because if I don't forgive them and completely forgive them and completely get over it and don't remember it no more, I will never be healed. You know, he did that. He completely forgave them people. It doesn't bother him no more. I talk to him on a regular basis. And he can talk about it. He told me this story quite a few times. He says, I don't bring them up no more. I don't bother me. If somebody talks about them, I don't get upset no more. I completely forgive them, and I forgot about what they'd done. You know something? His cancer today is about all gone. And his number was 2,400. That's where he started at. That's bad, he told me. He's down to 180. And hopefully he gets down to 0. But he is being healed. But God is working miracles in him. And God can make miracles for you too. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is the all good healer. And he is our Lord. And it's about forgiving. Just like that psychiatrist says, 75% of the people could be healed. And out of that ward in one day, that they receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. That's really wonderful. It's what Jesus can do for us, isn't it? So, how many times do we have to forgive somebody? Somebody says, you know, I can't forgive you because you do this to me all the time. How many times will I forgive you? Well, God has an answer for that too. You know, everything's in this book. This book is amazing. The more I study the Bible, the more amazing I am. Everything is in here. I don't care what you talk about, what you think about. It's in here. God, He provide that for us. So, turn to Matthew 18. I'm slowly getting it here. 18. Start with verse 21. I'll read 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said unto him, Say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So Peter says, Lord, he says, how many times I give him? I'll give him seven times. But that day, the Pharisee says, three times, three strikes are out. He says, I'll do better than that. I'll give him seven times. That's where in baseball, he says, three strikes are out. I think it's where it comes from. But Peter says, I'll do better than that. I'll do seven times. The Lord says, no, it's 70 times seven. That means if somebody trespasses against you, there's no number put on it. Forgive them. Like God forgive us, forgive him on a daily basis if you have to, and pray for him. Pray for the person that sins against you or trespasses against you, and pray for the people that are your enemies, and pray for the people that maybe don't talk to you. Just pray for them, and pray for it, and give the forgiveness and forget about what you've done, but pray for them every day. And because God has given our debt. Is so much, as we just learned, is a debt we can never pay. And God, He forgives us daily, every day. We sin every day, He forgives us every day. So can we forgive our fellow people the same courtesy that God gives us? Forgive them. Forgive them. And that brings us right back to where we started, 1823. Unforgiving servant. Do we have anybody here today as an unforgiving servant? Do you have anybody here today that isn't know Jesus in your heart? If you haven't know Jesus in your heart, you just can't know Jesus. To know Jesus, but you have to know Jesus. You have to know Him right here. He has to be with you every day. The more you read the Bible, the more you pray, the closer you're going to get with Him. Amen. The more you're going to think of Him. And that's the only way to heaven. So if anybody here today does not have Jesus in your heart, please come forward today and be able to pray and be with the Lord. Be humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you in my life every day. And just repent. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning just give you thanks for all you've done, for all your Son has done for us, that died on the cross for us and He died for our sins. Our sin is so many that we cannot pay Him back. And Father, so thank you so much for all you've done for us. And thank you for the people that today I couldn't be here. And the people are traveling today. So thank you. Pray for everybody who's traveling and not being here. And pray for a safety trip for back home for people who are here today, Father. And just to be with everybody. And pray that people.